Hey folks, Susan Verrocco here. Welcome everybody to our coaching call. Glad you're able to join us. Just a little before the top of the hour, so as you're joining us, if you'd like to say hello in the chat and answer the just for fun question that we're starting with today, we would love to see it. Hey Theo, thanks for diving right in. You played violin and double bass. Wow. That's amazing. Both. Good for you. Hey, Barb, glad you're here. Kathy has joined us. Christian, glad you're able to make it today. Got a good group here. So feel free to answer the just for fun question. Kathy said she ran track as a sprinter and played the cello. Fun. A little bit of both. All right. Barb said no sports, just working and volunteering. I worked too through a lot of high school. Same. Thanks for sharing that. And Ruth joined us too. Hey Ruth, glad you're here. See you there. Just getting started. I'm hoping everyone can hear me. If for some reason I am, just let me know in the chat if somebody would just let me know if the sound is okay, if I'm loud enough and clear. Kathy, thank you. Occasionally my headset can be a little funny, temperamental. So thanks for letting me know. All right. Well, we're going to move ahead here and hopefully other people will join as we get rolling. But I want to start out with my first question for all of you, and that is to share a win. So type in the chat or the W and just let me know what's been going on. What has gone well for you in the last week or two, since we spoke last or met last. Can't believe that the month of February is blasting by. Oh my goodness. It's only the 18th of the month. So just let us know what's been going on so we can celebrate your success. Awesome. Theo said I had a call with a potential client. Congratulations. That's terrific. That's a huge win. Wonderful to start out this early in the program, started to talk to people. So Barb said started a new copywriting training with Bob Bly. Great guy. He's very knowledgeable. So good for you. I would recommend that you make sure you save enough time to get through this program at the same time. Sometimes starting a second training can be a little distracting. So just make sure that you stay on track with this and you'll be in great shape. Kathy says her win is that I'm working with a nonprofit for email marketing and blog posts, helping them create attention for some upcoming events. First time they have used digital marketing for events. Wow, that's great. Congratulations. That's a cool project. Good for you. Lawrence just joined us. Welcome. Glad you're here. Excellent. All right. Well, I am going to move us along. We've got a good group today. So I'd love to know where you are in the program. What material are you implementing right now? What session are you on? Is there anything that you're working on in particular, just so that I have a sense of where you are? If you would just type that in the chat, let me know how far you've gotten. And that'll be helpful as we go through the rest of the call today. Lawrence said, I'm building my website and it's difficult, so I'm sure. anybody have options about Wix, maybe we can bring you on, Lawrence. Just see what I use Wix and would love to know a little more about that. Kathy said I'm on session 3, still working on my website. Yeah, that part takes a little bit of time. It's not something that goes probably as quickly as we would like it. Barb said sending warm emails. Great. And you already finished the course. You're just cruising right along there. Good for you. That's amazing. Kathy said I work with Wix for the nonprofit. So yeah, we've got some people with some experience there. So Lawrence, maybe we'll you can turn that into a question for us so we can chat about it. Ruth said, waiting for feedback on my web copy. I think I did that very possibly already. Ruth, I'll double check, but I think I did that one. And what I do is I post it right back in the website review feed. So that would have been, I think, last week, actually, Ruth. So I'll double check for you. All right. Theo said I'm on session 6 and 7, so we're in that area. And he also uses Wixter's website. All right. All right. Awesome. Well, let's dive in while we're all here and ready to go. Hopefully you have some questions. You've come with questions and things that you'd like some help with. And so type in a capital Q in the chat and then keep your question focused if you would. And one question, we've got a pretty good group here today. So I definitely would love for you to start with one question. And I can always come back around if we have time and tell me if there's anything that you're already considering in terms of where to go next with whatever question you have. Lawrence said, should I contact? That's entirely up to you, Lawrence. I know Wix has a pretty good support. I think they've got a pretty good support team. And I'm not sure if you've reached out to them in any way, but certainly we can brainstorm here a little bit. Like I said, if there's something in particular that you're stuck on with Wix, we can do that. As a matter of fact, why don't we start with you, Lawrence? Let's unmute you, and I definitely would love for you to just kind of frame up what it is that you're.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Yes, you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I had a website on Wix before this class, and I had problems with them. The website was like offline or something, and I go in and I finally get back into it and I find out that they're charging me a huge amount of money, which I don't think I ever authorized. How do I contact them to get the money back?
Yeah, that is just definitely something you could just log in to your Wix account and go to your account and see what happened there. And then you should be able to contact support within the site itself. So there should be an option for you as a quote unquote paying customer that you should be able to contact them. And I've had no problems. I've worked with them I've been using Wix for several years now, and I've had no problems with anything like that. And they've been very responsive. So that would be.
Well, after that, I would say, can you, I mean, I've looked at other people's websites that you guys have given the links to, and can you like move stuff around on the page, or is it very, very regimented?
Absolutely. Most of the templates are pretty, I guess, pretty freeform in the sense that you can delete elements and add different things and move them around. So I think, you know, that's been my experience, is that you can start with a blank canvas or you can start with a template and then add and delete things as you go. I mean, it should be fairly simple to do. Are you looking to add images? Are you looking to add text? I mean, is there something in particular?
Yeah, but I don't want to get into that right now. But here's a question. You know, they have stock photos. And, you know, I don't know if that looks cheesy to use their stock photos, or should I just be using my photos? And can I use photos that are not of my face? I mean, other photos of New York or something that gives it more of an atmosphere?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple places that you can go. Let me see. Upstock. Let me just see.
Oh, no, I have plenty of photos.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. And you should be able to change those out easily enough. I mean, they put those in there just to give you an idea of what it would look like. But yes, you can absolutely change them out. And you just click on the photo itself when you're in the editor, and it should pop up and say change photo, you know, or change image, and allow you to do that. So yeah, and you can upload your own. I do that all the time. That should be a simple thing. But yeah, I would recommend that you reach out to the support team and find out what was there with the charges.
Great, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, good luck. All right, Kathy, I saw your note. Hopefully you can hear me better now. It's definitely my headset, so great. Excellent, thank you. All right, so questions. Any questions that you might have for the group? If there's anything at all, whether it's something in the program itself, something that you're trying to implement that you might be stuck, something along those lines, feel free to type in a question and we can bring you on. We can have a conversation. I know a lot of folks get stuck often in the, especially the front end of positioning, but it sounds like most of you are further along through that phase of it. Once you get into the emailing, warm emailing part, that I find sometimes people get a little stuck there too. Sometimes it can be actually just intimidating to start sending out emails. But anything at all, emails, what else have we got that we're working on? I'd love to hear if any of you have sent out an email to your networks. That's another one that can be a bit of a challenge, but I'd love to hear about that. If you've sent out an email to your networks, let me know. Type that in the, feel free to type that in the chat. Because I'd love to hear. That's one of the places where I got one of the, a very big client out of doing that. Turned out, man, it started out as a small client. They just wanted some writing and then evolved into a rather major client through my network. So definitely something I strongly recommend is that you leverage your network. Everybody's quiet today. Quiet group. Well, I have a... All right. Barb said, I only started mostly crickets, but I have had a terrific talk with a former e-learning exec who was very supportive and offered good advice. That's great. I mean, sometimes, Barb, you're just building a network. And it might not be an immediate win. In regards to that conversation, but that's something that that person might be a really great connection for you, and might turn into someone who's a source of referrals perhaps, or something along those lines. So definitely want to take good care of those kinds of relationships, even if they don't turn immediately into any kind of projects for you. Theo said he started with emails, but no responses. It takes time. And that's the one thing I can say with warm emails is that it takes time and it takes more than one. A lot of folks do this and they get into it and think, oh, you know, I sent out, you know, 20 emails. Why haven't I gotten any responses? And it requires a lot of time and patience, honestly. It takes patience and just consistency with this piece. That's one thing that Ed recommends that I think is true, is to put warm email prospecting into your regular routine throughout the week, whether you do it daily or you do it, a couple times a week, is to just, you know, put that activity into your regular routine, even as you get busy, even as you start to bring business on, start getting projects, to stick with that same routine, so that you have some consistency there. All right. Kathy has a question. Her question, I'm struggling to consider the needs of my target audience. All right, Kathy, would definitely love to understand a little bit more about what you're doing. I'm gonna have you unmute. Hey, Kathy.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. So I know we've talked about this, and I was trying to type my question really quick.
That's okay. But,
so I'm still at the point, I feel like I'm going too wide. So I'm targeting the small business owners that are been focusing on in-person live training courses, okay, and trying the idea of trying to move to a digital course.
Right.
And so I understand we talked about sort of the game plan of the roadmap and guides.
Right.
But I think what I'm struggling with is that broad range of where, I mean, because like I said, you could go, do they have an email list? Are they selling to their email list? Like I think what I'm struggling with is like figuring out, do I focus just purely on email marketing aspect of it, or the whole thing, like just even the idea of moving to a digital course? Like, I think that's where I just get too broad, I think.
Yep,
and I bogged down a little bit. So I've been trying to get myself a little more organized and block my time a little bit better, because I find that I end up, I'll start to feel a little overwhelmed with all the possibilities. And so then I'll go jump on and help a client with something. And I've been trying to do the philosophy of work on my own business in the morning and focus on my clients in the afternoon.
Ah, okay.
So because, you know, if you've got deadlines and things like that, you're going to get those done. But if it's your own business, it's far easier as day progresses to go, oh, I'll just do that later. So I've been trying to rearrange it, but I find myself on days, especially our weather here has been very rainy and kind of dreary. So I find myself going, I need to do something more active. And when I get into the brainstorming session, I get a little overwhelmed. So I guess my question really goes back to the idea of what do you suggest on kind of focusing my attention on, like, because I know we talked about like the top three things, but we could take it in a lot of different ways. I think that's where I keep going back to.
Well, I think the best thing, Kathy, would be to just, you know, back things up. And I think because we all have a tendency to do that. Like we look at the process and we think, oh, you're going to need to know how to do this and that and the next thing. And and your brain kind of, whoop, the next thing you know,
you're overwhelmed.
15 steps ahead of where your potential client is.
Right.
And so, you know, backing things up and it sounds crazy, because I know I've done this myself, is to, you know, to back it down to such a simplified point that it almost feels too simple. And I can guarantee you that it won't. And I know it sounds to me like that's where your discomfort is coming in. Like, ooh, this is oversimplified. I don't think it is. I mean, if you look at, and if it is, people will tell you, well, that's, I'm three steps ahead of that. Okay, well, you know, this is to get people engaged in a conversation and to help pique their interest. And so I have, like, one of the things I did is create a scale of, like, I don't know, I think there's three or four different points on this scale. And the question is, which one are you? So are you the person who's, you know, gotten into it and got lost? Are you the person who is gotten into it and is stuck or something like that? Or are you the person who just can't even get into starting this whole thing because you're completely overwhelmed? So, you know, you might even start from that perspective of
that's interesting. Yeah.
So where are you? And great, because I can help you no matter where you are on this spectrum of
right.
scale of, hey, if you're just overwhelmed and are frozen in place, give me a call. If you have gotten into it and now realize this is way more than you're capable of, or, you know, that you understand how to do, give me a call. So, and anywhere in between, right? Anywhere in yeah. between those two points. So, and that will help you to cover us. You're still going to keep it small. I don't want you to say, you know, because don't even get into, do you have a strategy and all of that stuff. Keep it really simple and see if you can get in at that more at the front end of their process.
Because that's where, so what I find myself doing is then I'll jump to, you know, needing, like, let me think about testimonials. Uh-huh. I mean, I will do everything I can. And this is not how I am with clients. It is purely how I am with myself.
Like just
with my
thinking.
Clients. Yeah, I make them kind of get onto a task and, you know, and we go step by step. But for myself, I could just go down these rabbit holes. And so I've been trying to work on my website and keep it moving, but I get right on that area and I find myself just kind of circling the drain of all the possibilities. And I pull away and I go, let me go do something where I'm productive so I can get back to that productive way of thinking instead of the over brainstorming all the scenarios.
Right. Yeah. So that might be an easier way to start, is to just, it'll help you to come back to, okay, so what's that range of people that I want to be talking to? And it's the people who can't get going and then the people who didn't and get lost or get stuck.
Okay.
You know, and maybe just look at, okay, so you have two different needs, right? You've got two different situations here that are, you know, if you're just deer in the headlights, a kid, if you get, you know, get started, I've got a program for you, right? Something like that.
Okay.
And if you're stuck, let me help you out of that hole. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you know, anywhere in between. So that way you're sending the message, like, it doesn't matter where you are in this process. I can come in and help you. I can make a difference.
Yeah. Cause it's strange. I can listen to what people are struggling with and figure out the path is just, like I said, I sound a lot more disorganized
yeah.
than, you know, myself, you know, when it comes to my own thing.
Got it.
That's where I'm sort of stuck.
Yep. That is
okay. That's a good idea.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Let us, you know, certainly post in Facebook if you're heading in that direction and you need more support.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Awesome. Great question. It is so hard. It's the same kind of thing. As she just said, Kathy just said that she's struggling to finish her web copy because of that, because you're just kind of stuck. Like, it is hard for us to talk about what we bring to the table, especially in a situation like this, where all of you are right now, where you're just getting started, and it can be a little tricky to figure out what are people focused, are people struggling with, what are their pain points, your audience. If you don't have a lot of familiarity with your audience, that might be a little bit difficult to unearth. But it's a matter of starting with something and assuming that people are struggling. You know that they're struggling with certain parts of this. You know, you think about, in Kathy's case, these people maybe are just intimidated and overwhelmed by the idea of, oh my gosh, I got to build an email list and then I got to figure out how to engage with them and all of that. There's all these to-dos that can be very overwhelming. And it's the same thing too with, even if you're not in that same industry, but if you're in an industry where you're just looking to do writing for someone, they might be in the same position. So think about the person that you're calling on and think about, are they doing the writing themselves and maybe they can't keep up? I see a lot of that, especially in that mid-sized company or that sort of small company, maybe a company that's small but growing, is that someone gets stuck with, you know, here, you do all the blogging and you do all the social media, and they get stuck, you know, in their lap, but then now the company's growing and they're struggling to keep up with the demand. Or maybe they don't really have a lot of expertise in building a, you know, any kind of a plan in terms of social media presence or maybe even a blog series. You know, some people feel that sometimes the creativity of that can be very intimidating. So think about different ways that are sticking points for the people that you're calling on that, you know, yep, they could be stuck in this particular place and how you might be able to help them. All right. And Ruth, thank you for your comment about getting emails. They are, what I love about Ed's templates, his email templates are their simplicity. They're not overdone. They're not big, long, you know, half novels or anything crazy like that. They're simple and to the point. And his style is very appealing in the sense that it doesn't feel pushy. And so there's a lot of things that I like about the way that he approaches the warm email process. So glad to hear it was successful. And it can be very successful if, again, if you're applying some consistency to it. And so Barb, you're up next with a question. She said, how do you recommend following up with a warm email that got no response? And what I want to say first out of the gate is that's going to happen a lot. and so don't be surprised. The other thing that I will share with you is that in session 8 is the session on nurturing, what Ed calls not yet readies and NYR, not yet readies, and systematizing your prospecting. And in that place, in that part of the program, he talks about doing exactly that. So what do you do with someone who you know is a good prospect that definitely could use your help at some point, but either didn't respond or maybe they responded and said, hey, thanks, but we're good right now. What do you do with that? It's still a good lead. It's still a potential. And so he actually has a whole program, a whole session on how to build some responses over the course of time. So in other words, you're going to email them more than once, and but you don't want to do it too often. Timing is important. You know, maybe a week goes by and you do that again. Oh, okay. Sorry, Barb. More connectors. Not all right. Hold on just a minute. And I had you come on because I thought you were emailing warm emails to prospects. Hey, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So tell me a little bit about what is going on here.
Yeah, I like Ed's templates too. I've been just focusing so far on the connector emails, so I haven't, which I understood Ed to suggest you exhaust that first. And I've had it's been all over the map, the response. The executive that I connected with was it was wonderful to talk to him. I had another person who potentially could be a prospect. She's not in my niche, but I did some work for her a long time ago, and she had a wonderfully supportive response, but it was like, you know, you'll be in the queue here. If I hear of anything, I'll certainly let you know. And I kind of know how to keep in touch with her. But the ones, you know, other ones that I've sent out that were people I may have worked with along the way who are not necessarily in my niche, but, you know, would be good connectors, I think. And I sent the emails, you know, the same basic flavor, and then nothing came of that. So I'm not, because they're not really prospects, that I, because I know you could go on LinkedIn and, you know, sort of connect with people slowly over time that way, but do you do that also with just connector types, or are there other ways that are more effective?
I would say yes. So I think it makes sense to reach out and connect with them on LinkedIn as well, especially if you're not connected yet. So that's an important thing to do. But the other thing is to think about, is there some way that you could help them? And this is something that is just a way of looking at approaching people and saying, what can I do for this person? How can I help them instead of asking for help? So it's just, so if they didn't respond, maybe they either didn't, it could be that your email ended up in their spam, which is entirely possible, or they just didn't see it if they're buried in emails, which many people are. So keep in mind that there may be some reasons why they didn't respond, but also is there something that you could give them that would be of help to them? And that's a little bit trickier. It's a little bit harder sometimes to kind of unearth that, but take a look at what they do and see if there's a maybe an article you could send them that might be pertinent to them, that might be helpful. I find that sometimes just turning around and, you know, and helping somebody, if at all possible, is a good way to just get them to feel like, okay, you know, it's I'm drawing a blank on the word, but it's something where you're just building relationship right now. And again, some of this stuff takes a little bit of time. So you might save that connector for the ones, any of the ones that didn't respond. Maybe do it again in a month, especially where maybe you've now got your website up and running. It's a good reason to reach out. Hey, just want to let you know, I've, you know, advanced to this point. I have my website. Take a look, you know, that kind of thing. Sending out. So yes, you can follow up with connectors, but not quite as frequently as you would with a prospect. Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yes. That's a blinding flash of the obvious. Thank you.
It's okay. That's quite all right. Now, sometimes we get close to this and we're just, you know, not clear, but Kathy said rapport. Thank you. You're absolutely building rapport and relationship with people through this process, especially connectors, because you just never know, you know, who they know, who they might, yeah, they might not be in your niche or the target audience, but that doesn't mean that they don't know someone. And even at this point in the process, getting a project, even with a company outside of your niche, would be okay too. That's fine. You know, that just so that you can start getting some experience and get some momentum.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that helped.
Kind of related to that, one of the ones I sent, probably 2 or 3 years ago, actually, when my business was sort of in a different place than it's gotten to, thanks to help from this program, I had gotten to the point where I actually met with the person. He runs a company in Chicago, and that was before I knew not to, you know, do a whole lot of legwork before you actually get any kind of commitment. So, you know, lesson learned the hard way. But after I, you know, sent him all the work that I did to suggest, he wanted to revamp his website. And then I, you know, I said, well, here's what I recommend and here's how I work. And I, you know, X odd amount of dollars up front or whatever. And then nothing. He just dropped off the face of the earth. I mean, he didn't. I mean, I still see him on, you know, social media. But I decided to send him a warm connector email. He's not directly in my niche, but I thought, well, you know, we got pretty far. He seemed impressed. I don't know what happened. He wouldn't, you know, follow up. So I sent him a warm email and he has not responded, but I did see that he or somebody opened it.
Oh,
what
okay.
would you suggest about, should I just let sleeping dogs lie there or should, you know, in some ways I feel like, you know, you owe me at least an email.
Yes. Come on. Yeah. How hard is it to respond and say, hi, thanks. You know?
Yeah. And I noticed he did revamp his website and a lot of, and I don't know who he used, I think probably a big company, but he did a lot of the things I suggested I see in there.
And oh, good.
So I mentioned that. I said, oh, your site looks great. And I see you, you know, incorporated some of my ideas. And I mean, I was really very friendly and like, no, you know, no bad waters under the bridge kind of thing, but you know, crickets. So I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, he would be the kind of person, the kind of a contact that I would put on a, maybe a slow, you know, something where you're just reaching out and doing just an update, almost like a newsletter. Like, here's what I'm working on. You know, nothing that's too aggressive and nothing too too often, honestly. Him, maybe once a quarter, might get an email from you just saying, hey, here's what's going on in my world. And same thing, if there's some way that you can help him, knowing the industry he's in, if there's a connection that, I've done that before as an example, is I've simply, again, just building good relationships and rapport with my network is, I know someone who had a job opening. This woman was a CEO of a large company. She had a job opening, and I knew a woman who was actually, I figured would be a pretty good fit. And I put the two of them together, and she ended up hiring this woman, and she worked there for like 5 years, and it really worked out well. So I, you know, it was just a great way to build excellent rapport with both of these individuals. It was just a win-win all the way around. So something like that. And that's a one-off. I mean, that just happened to work out, but those kinds of things, like if they're looking for something and you know of a resource, if somebody posts a need, like, hey, I'm looking for a really great attorney, or does anyone, and you happen to know one, make some recommendations, you know, that kind of thing. See if you can connect that person and help fill a need for them. That because then they feel they need to reciprocate. That's one of the advantages of being able to do that. It's like, oh yeah, I want to help that I want to help her back. So yeah,
that's good advice. You know, it's like a weird thing that, I don't know if it's like a dog with a bone or something. It's like, I refuse to give up before I at least get a go away barb, you know?
Yeah. But hey, you know what? It's one of those things where I think we attach more meaning to it than certainly the other person does, you know, and it sounds to me like, and I saw Kathy shared a thought on the chat as well, but it's one of those, you know what, he didn't choose me to do the project, I'm moving on. You just kind of have to let it go. So, you know, that's very much a personal choice on your part. Is, you know what, do I still keep him on my list and send him an email here and there? That's up to you. If you do decide, especially where he's not responding at all, it might be worth just, you know what, I'm moving on. You just never know. You don't know what's going on in his world or what, you know, what might be preventing him from responding. But that's entirely up to you. You know, that's personal choice for sure.
Well, so, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Awesome. Great questions. Great questions as you start getting out there and start actually reaching out to people. I think, you know, the first couple sessions in this program are all about looking at yourself, figuring out your positioning, your messaging, some of that stuff, building your website. It's very internal work. And then you pivot and, you know, session 5 is really all about getting out there and connecting with people, reaching out and starting to connect with people. All right. Great questions. Thanks so much for coming on and talking and let me just see if I don't think I missed anybody. And the other thing with emails too is to get creative with, and this is something that I believe Ed talks about in the program, is getting creative with even looking at maybe local companies. You know, that's one that might be, you know, we tend to these days, especially with COVID and not really, you know, getting out much in terms of, you know, getting out networking or anything like that. But think about small local companies that might need some help with something that, even if it's not in your niche or in your target market, Maybe they've got a need that you could do a small project or reduced rate kind of a project just to get you a little bit of momentum. I know we talk often, and I talk often explain the whole idea of doing a pro bono project, not something that we recommend that you do a lot of, but, you know, a project, maybe two small ones that you might do pro bono just to with the expectation that in response you will be able to get a testimonial and a sample from that particular project. You'll have permission to use them maybe as a reference. So it's you might not get paid in money, but you could get paid in other ways that would be highly valuable to you. And getting the experience, having a real life client, nice thing. I've definitely done that a couple of early on in my career, did some free work or very low, you know, a reduced rate, that kind of thing, just to get my foot in the door, to get some momentum going. So as you progress through the program, just keep that in mind too. Reaching out to a local company that you know is maybe small but growing and offered to do something. Kathy said I got a website opportunity with my hairstylist on her business site. Perfect. You know, it's not most likely not in your target audience, Kathy, but it's a great project. It's someone that will talk about rapport building, and you know, definitely a nice you know, a nice project to have to say, look, you know, I worked, and then to use that person as a reference or to get a testimonial. Really nice to be able to add that. Just think small in regards to this. So when if you have an opportunity, you stumble across an opportunity, and you are thinking, I think I might go pro bono on this, make sure that it's a smaller project. Like, don't take on a whole entire website for free. I wouldn't recommend you do that. But maybe someone needs some help rewriting maybe two pages. They want to update a couple of pages on their site. That's one thing. Or maybe they just want a couple of blog articles written. You know, agree to do two for free, and to give that person the chance to get to know you, see if you can work together well. Start small, especially if you're looking at either reduced rate or pro bono work. And that way you're not, you don't want to get in over your head with a project that suddenly is eating you alive, is, you know, requiring a lot of time or something like that. So, but there's a lot of advantages to doing these smaller projects in the beginning to give yourself some experience and some comfort level with, yeah, I think I like doing this. That's certainly how I learned that email campaigns were not for me. Definitely not my thing necessarily. And sometimes you just have to do some of those projects to find out, oof, you know, if this is harder than I expected, or, you know, that's how you find out, am I good at something or not? And I certainly found out that was something for me that was like, I'm just not enjoying this. It's not really what I want to be doing for long-term. And that's, I think, where many of you probably are in your process, is figuring out, what do I really enjoy writing? You might not know yet. It might just be a matter of trying some things and seeing where it leads you. Awesome. Well, I'm going to turn it back around and ask you guys, all of you folks, a question. What's been valuable so far in our discussion? We've talked about a number of different things, talked a little bit about following up with prospects, connecting with your network or with people who might be connectors, things like that. Is there anything in particular that in our conversation today that was helpful? And by the way, we have plenty of time for more questions. So if you've come up with another question in the meantime, feel free to put that in. Barb's is a reminder to think about how to help others. Again, a really powerful way to build your network and to gain respect and to build that rapport is to reach out and say, how can I help that person? Definitely with references. So if someone posts, and like I use the example of, hey, I'm looking for an attorney or something like that, if you happen to know one that would be a great fit, recommend, because then it's a win-win on both sides. That attorney's going to remember that you know, obviously you're building rapport both with both parties, and that's awesome. I try to be the connector as often as I possibly can with my network. I always like to see what's going on with people, what do they need, and see if I can be of help to them in any way that's got nothing to, sometimes it has nothing to do with writing. It's just, gosh, they need an introduction, or could use some help with something, you know, making or looking, you know, finding a resource. Kathy said being able to talk with you live on the things we're thinking about. I'm glad that's helpful. This is a great call to do that. I can't promise you that I will always have all the answers, but I have, sometimes we come up with the answers together. And that's why I like bringing people on to actually have the conversation so that I can hear what it is that you're dealing with, what are the details, and then sometimes a little bit of brainstorming can be a fabulous thing. So I'm glad that's helpful, Kathy. Thanks. All right, great question. Ruth just put up a question for us. I was approached by someone I don't know. They claim they found me through a Google search. What kind of question should I ask to determine if they are a serious company? They have a small website and no LinkedIn profile. Good question. Good question. You know, that's one of the things that, again, I'm not sure exactly where you are within the program, but Ed in session 6 talks about qualifying and qualifying effectively. And he talks about checkpoints and questions. He's got both. He's got a long list of questions in there to help you determine whether or not they're a viable company. So if they have a small website, I would start there and get a sense of, look at the website and see, do they have an about page? And does it talk at all about the history of the company? And if not, I might even start with some simple questions about, you know, so tell me a little bit more about your company. How long have you been in business? And where do you see yourself going? You know, what's the direction and for your company and your business? What are you looking to accomplish? Those kinds of questions to get a sense of, you know, what are they thinking about? What have they tried that's been successful so far or not successful? You know, what different kinds of things? Maybe they've tried email campaigns. Maybe that's what they're interested in having you do, or some other kind of writing. What have you tried so far? You know, what are the kinds of things that you found helpful? And then, you know, or that went well or maybe didn't go well for you? And what other alternatives have you considered? Other questions could be along the lines of, have you ever, and I think this may even be some from Ed's program, but have you ever worked with a copywriter before or an outside professional? And what was that experience like? What went well? And maybe what didn't you like about that? So, you know, you're asking some questions that are going to tell you a couple of different things. Like the answer is no, I've never worked with a copywriter before. Okay. Why or why not? You know, was it you just weren't ready and your company was too big, or you had someone who was doing it? How were you accomplishing these things prior to, considering talking with me or considering hiring someone? Those kinds of things. And it's just to get a sense of, you know, who are they? What's their experience been so far? And then again, especially with someone like this, you want to start small. If there's anything that would be a good takeaway for all of you on the call or anybody listening to the replays, start small. So if it's a company that you maybe you're not getting really good answers from, maybe they're really, you know, haven't been around that long or something like that, and they don't have a budget. That's one of the questions that Ed suggests that you ask, is what's your budget for this project? What do you have in mind?
Right, that's I think what I'm most what worries me about it. Like, I don't know who they are. They sit somewhere in South Africa. They found me somehow.
Oh,
not through a reference. I mean, are you even a company? Will you pay me? Will you
right.
It's very strange. So I'm trying to figure out. I don't want to say right away. Look. If you're not going to tell me, you know, I'm not going to work with you, but how do I stay in a safe zone, mm-hmm. not to work, could do a lot of work and then not get paid? I mean, but I think what you said is right. Stay, you know, start small. And even if I write a blog post and never get paid for it, okay, nothing happens. It's good practice for me. But still it's, you know, in the long run, that's it's important to know really how do you determine whether somebody is sincere,
for sure.
and how, right. What are the signs like to look for?
Sure. Well, are they willing to get on a phone call with you?
We've just been Skyping so far.
Okay.
So
you've had a conversation, you've already started the process of having a conversation, and do they sound like they know what they're looking for in terms of what they want, what they need from you?
Yeah, they seem to know what they want. It seems like a one-man company. It seems like somebody is starting, his one-man company is looking for somebody to write stuff for him. For the website and maybe some marketing emails or something.
Sure.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But since they're not in the same time zone again,
yeah, no.
And I'm not sure. That's one thing that I'm asking myself also, should I suggest that maybe that we get on a call so I can actually ask? And
absolutely. That you can have interaction. Absolutely. That's why I was asking, because you can get a sense of who they are. And the other thing is that the best way to protect yourself is to ask for, if it's a small project, to be paid in full upfront. If mm-hmm. it's a larger project, to break it in two. So I need a deposit. I need half of the fee upfront before any work begins. And then, you know, a couple weeks after I get the balance or something like that. So there's other ways to protect yourself financially in this. And that's something I learned the hard way too. But I don't start work until there's dollars in my bank account. And that's just a good rule of thumb. And I don't care if it's $100. It's mm-hmm.
yeah,
you're going to
yeah.
pay me something before I start work for you.
Right. It's the idea of seeing that they're willing to pay and they're uh-huh. not, you're mm-hmm. not going to lead me on or some,
honestly, that's the best way to
scammer.
100%. That's the best way to vet them, is to say, okay, I'll do three articles for you, whatever, $200, $300 a piece or whatever you come up with. And I want half up front. So you'll pay for 1.5 articles before I start writing any, or maybe you pay for the first two. Mm-hmm. And then if you're happy, then I'll write the third and you can pay me for that one. So you definitely want to, taking the money up front is probably one of the best ways to just vet people. If you don't start, you don't put pen to paper or you don't type a single letter until you've received a down payment or a deposit, mm-hmm. that will send them packing pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at least you'll have something, some kind of, you know, some money to recover. But this is honestly, Ruth, part of the learning. I learned mm-hmm. the hard way. I lost twice. I think at two, maybe even three times, people that I knew, I was like, no, I can trust this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've lost a fair amount of money over the course of time. And I let it happen to myself. But since then, and that was years ago, this never happened again. I won't let anyone take advantage of me in that way. It's just being smart about, this is, you know, if you don't have the money, it's okay. Good luck. when things do turn around, if you're interested, because sometimes they're just looking for, and I hate to say this, but some people are just looking for someone that they can take advantage of. And just because you're new in this, in your business, doesn't mean that you should allow yourself to be taken advantage of. You know, I was talking earlier about pro bono. that should be your choice, not theirs. Right.
Yeah.
So
connect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind if it gives me a good, you know, if something that's put up on the web and I can send other people and show them, oh,
exactly.
I have this reference here.
Exactly.
That's, you know, to show credibility. But
exactly.
it has to be, it still has to be worthwhile.
I
don't think I'm there anymore that I really, really, that I'm so hard up that I need that.
so
I'm going to be, I'm going to be tough with them.
I don't blame you. You know, I mean, professional, but hard.
Yeah.
No, this is how I work. So the way that I work with my clients is, you know, and then explain, you know, I get the down payment. Once that's, once I've received that and the down payment, then I start the work, then, you know, have it so that it, even though you may have never worked with a client before, make it sound like this is how I work with my clients. This is my process. And mm-hmm. let me explain to you my process so that you sound, because you should have a process. You should be like, you should be thinking about, okay, so step one is I evaluate. Step two, I send you back a proposal. And then step three, you accept and pay me a down payment and we get going. That, you know, something that simple. It doesn't have to be really complex, but just a simple step one, step two, step three. This is how I work with my clients. Is that, are you okay with that? Or any yeah. questions about that?
Good. Yeah.
You know, and that really puts you in a position of power, if you will. Like, this is how I work. If you don't like it, you're going to have to find someone else.
Right.
And especially if you're...
And then if they are a spammer, they'll leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. Great. Great. Yeah, Barb had a comment on chat for you, Ruth, just a thought, and I agree. One of the things that I would recommend, and Barb brings up a good point there, she said, be careful about providing personal information, you know, beyond email really, but payment options, things like that, is to take a look at online invoicing tools. I think that they are either, in some cases, you can sign up for an online invoicing tool for free. I use a service that allows me, I do pay for it, but it allows me to accept, especially where they're in South Africa. I agree, there does seem to be a lot of scams coming out of South Africa for some reason. So to be on higher alert than usual, I would agree with that. But think about ways that, how are you going to be, if you're one of these folks that's looking to do business internationally, perhaps you're in the US and you want to, you know, work in, with clients in Canada or Europe or someplace else in the world, how are you going to make that happen? And just be thinking about that, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. People do this all the time. It could be as simple as PayPal, just using PayPal to collect money. And that protects you. There's that layer of protection where you just send them a PayPal invoice and then they pay it. And it converts the dollars. Just remember that always, I know in my agreements with my, and Ed has a sample agreement that talks about this later in the program, but that they pay you in US dollars. Make sure that if that's, or whatever country you're in, that it's your country's dollar. So if you're in Germany, it's in German dollars or in German currency, however that works. That way the exchange rate doesn't impact you, it impacts them. So if your exchange rate is favorable or if it's not favorable, you wanna make sure that you have that language in your agreement so that you're protected. Yeah, and Ruth said, yeah, she uses PayPal, perfect. All right, Lawrence had another question and he said, do you ever apply to ads looking for freelance copywriters? Yes, I would. There's a couple of different online marketplaces for freelancers, and I'm sure you may be familiar with them. One is Fiverr, another one is Upwork, and there's ones that are specific to freelance writing and freelance people that work in marketing and things like that. Absolutely, there's some. A couple of things to keep in mind is that these can be, especially like Fiverr or Upwork, some of those you actually bid on a project. And obviously most of the time the lowest bidder wins. So the pay isn't great, but if it's part of your strategy, and this is something that, you know, as we come through this, as you come through the program, I talk a lot about strategy. And so pro bono, accepting a pro bono project is strategy, is part of your strategy. And so maybe you decide that as part of my strategy, I will accept two or three pro bono projects at the outset to get some momentum and some experience. Maybe pick up the testimonials, as I said, and samples. The next step in my strategy is to apply for or try Fiverr or Upwork or some of these. Upwork, I think, is one that's really been, they've been advertising, actually. I've seen ads on TV, believe it or not, which is interesting. So that might be the next phase of your strategy, is to say, okay, now I'm going to take some maybe somewhat underpriced projects through some of these sites. I'm going to try it. Let's see how it goes. Can I get work that way? Are there projects that are helpful to me in terms of building my, again, building my portfolio, building my experience, those types of things? That might be part of your strategy as you're building your business. So you want to keep working the email aspect that Ed talks about, but this is another layer of strategy that you can leverage, that you can build in. The one caveat that I would share with you is to be careful about it and not to spend too much time there. And what I mean by that is to have an endpoint. So yeah, I'm going to try this. I've tried, I've actually I've been both a consumer and a provider for a couple of different programs like that. I used to work for, I used to do a lot of work actually for a company called Skyword, and it's literally Skyword, and it's all one word, .com. And they're like a higher end Upwork, and they do for writers. It's cool. It took me a long time to get into that organization, and I'm long time as in like 3 years before they contacted me to start writing for one of their clients. But I was able to write for some really big names as a writer. Once they brought me in and I started writing, they tested me on a smaller client. Went really well. They were really happy. And then they started using me for some bigger clients. I actually wrote for Abbott Labs. I did quite a bit of thought leadership for them through this company. So there's some real advantages, and there's some, I actually wrote for them for a while. I was in there on their team of writers for once I got in there, like I said, it took me a little bit of time, and then I started doing blog articles for them and for a couple different companies, but it was for bigger companies that I probably wouldn't have had as much luck getting into on my own. And it was wonderful to be able to say I was writing for some of these good-sized companies. So part of your strategy, absolutely. Give it a try. See what happens. See if it's something that makes sense. And just to again, get you a little bit of momentum. You know, you never know what... I've heard of people getting some really great projects through places like Upwork and Fiverr, where they're significant, you know, significant projects that worked out really well. So everyone's experience is going to be a little bit different, but just some ideas and some things to think about there. And hopefully that was helpful, Lawrence. All right. Great questions. Great questions today. All right. Well, the last question that I am going to ask all of you is what your top action item is. I'd love to see what you're going to be working on in the next week or two. It doesn't have to be anything that we discussed today on the call, but just anything that you're going to be focused on in the next week or so. What is the one thing you're going to do? I know, and some of you are in different places in terms of website and that kind of thing. Barb said, more emails going out. Yay. Yes, every day. You know, there's a couple different ways to do that in terms of the emails. And what I mentioned earlier is building that habit into your regular weekly routine. You could do it by time, or you could do it by number of emails. And either way works, but you might start by, and I'll give you an example. So maybe I spend, especially as you get busier, right now you should be spending a fair amount of time as you get into the email session in this program, is to dive in and keep going with it. Maybe you spend an hour a day sending emails, or 2 hours or 3 hours. In the beginning, it should be more like three. You should be doing your research, building your list and sending emails. And, but as you start bringing on work, then you can cut that back a little bit, but maybe make it a habit of, okay, so it's an amount of time every day. Or you could also say, I'm gonna send a minimum of 15 emails a day. Whether that takes you a half an hour or 2 hours, that's what you're going to do. And so that by the end of the week, you end up with a particular number. So maybe you have a weekly goal of emails that you're going to send every week, and you chunk it down so that you're doing a smaller amount each day. So two ways to approach it, but definitely something to build into your habit, stack for the day. All right, Theo says more warm emails and learning how to write a blog post. Lots of good information out there on blog post writing. Kathy said building the where, not quite sure I know what you mean there. Where are you on my website? Where are you? What we were talking about. Sorry, it took me a minute. So yes, where are you on the spectrum? Are you, are you stuck, can't get started, or started and got stuck somewhere along the way? That, okay. Sorry. Great. Great, great. Awesome. Well, we do have time for a question. If anybody has another question, happy to take it. If not, I think we'll wrap up for today, but great conversation. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for participating. This is what makes these calls valuable, not only for you personally, but for anyone who might be listening, either in attendance or listening to the recording after. And the recording will be available tomorrow. So if you want to come back and listen again, if there's a piece you want to review or something like that, feel free. But thanks again, everybody. Great to have you all here, and look forward to seeing you in March. Oh my goodness. That'll be the next time that we meet on one of these calls. So awesome. Awesome. Have a great rest of February. Stay warm if you're in a cold place. And in the United States right now, almost every place in the country is cold. So stay warm, stay well, and I'll see you folks on Facebook.